So over the last few weeks, we have followed God's people in the desert. We've seen their ups and downs, and we've witnessed God's amazing faithfulness to them and patience beyond any patience that we can imagine. God's people are now on the edge of something big, something huge. They've been waiting over 40 years in the desert for. They are going to be entering the promised land. It's sort of hard for us to get our heads around how huge that was, but imagine that you've been in lockdown in the desert for 40 years and you're told that tomorrow you're going to be free and safe to do all the things that you could do before COVID and so much more besides. How exciting would that be? And can you imagine that in the midst of that excitement, you might just be in danger of getting carried away and forgetting everything that you've learned during lockdown? Well, it wasn't so different for God's people 3,000 years ago. And today we're going to hear what Moses has to say to them. Remember that Moses knew that he would die before entering the promised land. So this is his last opportunity to help God's chosen people remember some of the things that they had learned in the desert. But before we go any further, we're going to do a bit of remembering ourselves. Now, some of you will recall the game played at the end of the Generation game. Do you remember that game where contestants have to remember as many things as possible from those that pass by on a conveyor belt? Well, I'm inviting you to join in the Promise of Generations game. This is for everyone, not just for children and families, so you'll need to keep your eyes peeled, okay? Thanks, Dave. And on the conveyor belt in tonight's Promise of Generations game, we have a pair of sunglasses, a bunch of seven ripe bananas, a cuddly toy, a bottle of tomato ketchup, a small jar of grapefruit and ginger marmalade, a pair of 1 kilogram hand weights, a fearsome looking sword, a batch of 7 homemade peanut butter filled cookies, a rose gold iPad Air, a toy snake, a tub of Cadbury's Heroes, a 1 pound jar of homemade deep roast peanut butter, an old pair of flip-flops, a very sharp kitchen knife, half a loaf of homemade sourdough bread, some fresh water, and a set of flamingo baking cups. Excellent. So there were 17 items on the conveyor belt, but the more observant of you may have spotted that some of those items related to things that we've learnt about in recent weeks, the journey that God's people have made from the Red Sea to the Promised Land. So using the chat function or just by unmuting yourselves, you have got 60 seconds when I have unlocked my phone and got the timer on it. You've got 60 seconds to tell me the items that you saw that were related to God's people's journey to the Promised Land. So your 60 seconds starts now.
7 bananas. Sourdough bread.
Sorry?
Sourdough bread.
I'll give you sourdough bread. God fed his people in the desert. Yeah. Any others?
Seven bananas.
7 bananas. Yeah, he fed his people in the desert. Not sure they had 7 bananas, but I'll give you that one too. Zarina has put in, okay, in the chat, we've got sword, snake. Sword, yeah. Snake, yes. Bread, yes. Water, yes. Well done. Always sunglasses, Maddie's has sunglasses. Yeah, that's right. Sword.
Baking cups.
So I'm not going to allow baking cups, I'm afraid. No flamingos in the desert. knife, question mark, Claire Tracy. Yes, knife, you can have a knife. That was from the bit that Dave did. Flip-flops, yes. Yes, footwear in the desert that didn't wear out. Yeah. Cuddly toy, no, Chris. No cuddly toys in the desert. Oh, your time is up. Well done, everyone. So I don't think that anyone got, I've only got one more thing. No one got the tomato ketchup from Dave's bit on Atonement. Do you remember all that blood everywhere?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well done, everyone. That was really good. Some good remembering. Well, in today's true story from the Bible, God speaks to the people through Moses to tell them what they need to do, what they need to remember. So listen out for three things that he tells them to remember. The first is to remember what God has already done for them. The second is to remember what God will give them in the future. And the third is to remember to obey God. So see if you can spot some of those things as we go along. You can run the video, Dave. Thank you.
God's people have been in the wilderness for more than 40 years, and we think lockdown has been long. God reminded his people that they should obey all his commands faithfully so that they might have children and live in the land promised to their parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. During these 40 years, the people faced problems and difficulties to test whether they would obey God and trust him completely. When they were hungry, God fed them with manna, a new and special food, reminding the people that they should trust in him for all their needs. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not become sore, despite so much walking. When the people felt they were being treated unfairly, God reminded them that his discipline came from his great love for them. As they followed God's commands, showing obedience and reverence, he led them towards the promised land, full of hills, valleys and rivers, wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, all the wonderful things they could possibly imagine. He kept the people safe, providing for all their needs, but reminded them that every good gift comes from him. This they must always remember. Worship and obey the Lord your God. As they were about to cross the River Jordan, God mentioned the Anakites, a race of giants who lived there already. Perhaps the people were afraid, quickly forgetting how God had brought them safely to this point. But God promised to go ahead of the people, to drive the Anakites out of the land. God keeps his promises.
So Moses tells God's people to look back and remember what God has done for them, how he's brought them through really challenging times, and how he's provided for them every time. Well, what about us? This image that's going to come us up depicts us. Well, we need to look back and remember what God has done for us too. How often do we fail to trust him when we're in difficult times, even though we know that he's helped us through challenging times in the past? Or we take things for granted and we assume that when something goes really well, it's down to us and what we've done. And we completely forget to thank God for sorting it out and doing it for us. Well, having looked back, Moses looks ahead and he tells the people to remember what God is about to give them, how wonderful the promised land will be, and how it's a gift from God. It's not something that they deserve or something that they've earned. And towards the end of his speech, God even promises to go into the land ahead of his people and drive out the fearsome Anakites. How greatly God blesses his people. Well, for us, again, it's easy to forget those words that Anne read, that every good gift comes from God. Everything that is good comes from God. So I've got a question for you. Why is it important that we remember what God has done for us? Why is it important that we remember that every good gift comes from God? So if you want to put something in the chat or unmute yourselves to say, why is it important that we remember that every good gift comes from God? Well, I had a good think about it and I came up with those things too. I saw it like this, that if we trust, if we look back and remember what God has done for us, we will trust him more and we'll realize how much he does for us. And so we'll be more thankful. And by being more thankful, we'll love him more, we'll worship him more, and we'll want to please him by obeying him. Well, picking up on some of those themes, Moses tells God's people to remember always to worship and obey God out of love for God and all that he has done for them. See, Moses knows, like we do if we think about it, that by remembering what God has done for them in the past and what he's promised to do for them in the future, the people will want to worship and obey God. And if they do that, then God has promised that they will prosper and will stay in the land that he has given them. Incredibly, we are God's chosen people too. God wants us to worship and obey him as well. And if we remember the many things that God has done for us already, and that every good gift comes from him, if we remember God's promises for the future, then we will love him and we'll want to obey him. And obeying God will be a delight and a joy, not a chore, not like being told that you got to tidy your bedroom or something like that. God provided for his chosen people 3,000 years ago, and God doesn't change. We learned that in the week that we discovered about the golden calf. God doesn't change. So he provides for his chosen people now too. How does he do that? Well, looking back, if we remember what God has done for us, he gave us his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save us from the punishment that we deserve for the things we do wrong. God then blessed us even more. Because Jesus was the Son of God and he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins, he ascended into heaven. And right now, he is sitting at God's right hand, pleading for us. And looking ahead, we have a promised land too. The promised land of heaven. And like the Israelites in the Bible, this is a promised land that we risk losing if we don't worship and obey God. On our journey to the promised land of heaven, we know there will be difficulties. Like the Israelites, there will be times when things appear to go very wrong. But just as God helped them when they needed it, he will help us too. Let's not forget what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. God provides for our needs every single day. We need to keep on loving and trusting in our Saviour Jesus Christ, who died for us and who walks with us each day, step by step, then we will enjoy the blessings of the promised land of heaven.
The reading today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9 and 13 to 16. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Chris, for that reading. And we're going to stay with those themes that Bridget laid out for us really nicely from our Old Testament passage. And we're going to think a bit about the sorts of times of life we have and when it might be helpful to be remembering, to be looking back and to be looking forward. So I guess a question for us, just to get our brains into gear with this theme, is, do you think, is it in hard times or is it in our easier times that we're most in danger of drawing away from God? Think back over your particular lives, maybe. Has it been in your hard times or in your easy times that your trust and obedience of your Father God has maybe faded the most? So I guess we can think of examples. A man's wife dies, he has no job, he's angry, he complains at God and he loses his faith. Or a woman finds her life is good, she gets more things, she's rich, and she slowly drifts away from faith in God. Do hard times or easy times lead people away from God? So as I say, this morning we're going to go deeper together about how looking back and how looking forward helps us to trust and obey now in hard times and in easy times. So trust and obey, looking back and looking forward, that's our sort of thoughts. And we're just going to rub it in on those two sorts of times. We see again and again that God is trustworthy and he keeps his promises as we look back and we look forward. He is good and he loves us. So Moses reminded the Israelites of this, didn't we? And Bridget covered it well. He says, be careful to follow the whole command. Remember how the Lord your God led you the whole way in the wilderness for 40 years. And he did this, verse 2, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He's saying he's led you safely in the past. He will lead you in the future. So be ready to follow him now. And as Christians, we're reminded supremely of the death and resurrection of Jesus. So we can trust God now. And then right at the end of our Old Testament passage in chapter 9, Moses says this, "Hear Israel, you're now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you. people are strong and tall, but be assured today the Lord your God is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll destroy them, he'll subdue them before you, and you will drive them out quickly as the Lord has promised you. There's a promise of a wonderful promised land. And as Bridget said, the parallel for us as Christians is heaven. And so we see that in our New Testament reading in Peter. Peter's letter is writing to Christians scattered all over the place, and he wants to encourage them in good times and in bad. Look back, he says, verse 3 and 4, in God's great mercy, he has given you new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. That's what's happened in the past. This is what you have. Look forward. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So look forward. God has great things for you and will keep you safe. So that now, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to evil desires, but just as he called you as holy, so be holy in all you do. Verse 8, you love him and you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so I guess our big theme for this morning, look forward and trust humbly. God keeps his promises. Look back and obey joyfully. God is good to you. That's our overall truth. And it's useful to see the different importance and impact these have for when we have hard times and when we have easy times. So in hard times, look back for encouragement and look forward to have a perspective on your hard times. When looking back and looking forward, we think about this can be an encouragement to those who are suffering. But you've got a choice. Do you look back and forward and humbly trust and obey? Or do you forget and proudly reject the love that your Father God has for you? And I'm taking those hard times to mean those times when we're taken to the end of ourselves. So I have a magnifying glass as my sort of visual aid for this morning. Don't know if you can see that. Catherine helped me make this one. We need to look closely. When we're going through hard times, it's difficult because it's filling our minds. But we need to look closely and spot, can we see an encouragement here of what God might be doing? So do you remember in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, an Old Testament passage, Moses can say, in your hard times, God humbled you. He caused you your hunger and then he fed you with stuff that your ancestors had never even known. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell. So know then in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you, so you may walk in obedience to him and revering him. I don't know if you noticed as it was read, but 8 verse 3 has words that Jesus uses in the desert when he was tempted to reject God's hard way and go his own easier way. So you spot that? He said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the Lord. The Israelites here have been humbled to increase their dependence on God. They needed to come to him for that bread, that manna. It helped them to trust him more. Can we spot that for ourselves in our own hard times? Next time you're in one, or maybe feel like you're in one this morning, is it a time when you are being taught that you can't do it by yourself, that you can and you should turn and trust to God? And you want to, because he is your good, your loving, your heavenly Father. And in verse 5 and 6, the Israelites, Moses tells the Israelites, you are being disciplined to help you to walk God's way. So I wonder, next time we have a hard time, or maybe right now, can we spot that? Can we spot, is this hard time a time when you are being taught to say yes to this good thing or no to that bad thing? Though it's sometimes painful, disciplining can protect us from something even worse, can't it? We have a good, loving Father who wants us to grow in our Christian life. So, look forward and trust humbly. God keeps his promises. Look back and obey joyfully. God is good to you. In hard times, look back for encouragement. What has God done for you in Jesus and in your life in the past? And look forward to get a perspective. This is not all there is. In fact, it's momentary if we have an eternal perspective. And God has good things for us. So I wonder if we apply that. How do we pray for ourselves when we are having a hard time? Do we pray that we'll get out? This needs to stop. I just want it to finish. Or are we ready to pray with encouragement as perspective that we'll grow through it and see God growing us through it? And how do we pray for others? You might know people right now who are going through a really hard time. Do we pray that they'll just get out, that it'll just finish, that it'll just stop? Or are we ready with encouragement and perspective to pray that actually they might grow through it as well and God might do things in their lives? Looking to a wonderful future, and that was in the passage as well. Lord God, bring into a good land, land with brooks and streams, deep springs gushing, a land with wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, a land where bread will not be scarce. When you've eaten and you're satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. It's a wonderful land. It's a wonderful promise. So praise the Lord. Well, that's hard times. But I think what I want to spend most of my time this morning is thinking about easy times, which might be a lot more subtle. In easy times, we can look back for perspective and we can look forward for a warning. When we're looking back and forwards, we think about when is that a warning to those who are comfortable? If you're feeling comfortable, if it's easy times, there is a warning here as we look back and forward. And we still have that choice. Will I look back and forward and humbly trust and obey God? Or will I proudly rely on myself? So you remember our overall truth. Look forward and trust humbly. God keeps his promises. Look back and obey joyfully. God is good to you. In easy times, living comfortably, this might seem a lot easier. There's a lot of joy, isn't there, when we've got good times and things are easy and I have plenty. I think this passage is saying to us this morning, take care. You're in danger of becoming forgetful and proud. So from verse 11, Moses says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. You will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of slavery. He's saying, watch out. Be careful in easy times. And so a magnifying glass when we're in easy times, when we're thinking about what we're going through, is a magnifying glass of warning. So in those verses, we see that the warning is, don't be proud and forgetful. You have security, you have provisions. Don't be proud and rest in it. You have power for wealth and to generating more. Be careful. Can you spot the danger? And can you remember to look back and look forward for perspective and warning? Easy times are when you think you have everything you need. You're secure, and so maybe you don't need God for anything. Or even more, that you have achieved all these good things yourself and you can face whatever comes with a self-confidence. So Moses said, you may say to yourself, my power, the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his promise to you. It's a danger in easy times, isn't it, that we drift slowly to being proud in ourselves, the tasks we have accomplished, the security we have provided for ourselves and others, the wealth we've built by the work of our hands. So therefore, we can rely on ourselves. We don't need anything else or anyone else, including God. But God provided the power you needed as a taste of his promise. So in easy times, what does it mean, in fact, to look forwards and trust humbly and to look back and obey joyfully? Well, in easy times, we look back for perspective. In the past, God provided. So then now we should have joyful thankfulness. And we look forward for a warning. Do you remember when Jesus says, "Fool, today you may die and this will all be taken from you. And what then?" Instead of pride and self-satisfaction in easy times, we need to be aware of that danger and grow in thankful humility and look for opportunities to use what we have for God and others. And then in verse 19 and 20, the Israelites are warned about becoming proud and forgetful of the Lord, so drifting in faith to be the same as those around. Is that something else that we need to spot in ourselves? For the Israelites, this looked like drifting to being like everyone else, worshipping the false gods of the land. They're about to go into this promised land, all sorts of different religions going on. And the warning was, don't drift into being like them. For us, I think it'll also look like drifting to being like everyone else around us, indistinguishable in our priorities and our choices, in our concerns and our desires. I guess in this passage, we're thinking particularly of our material comforts and security, the comfort of our home, the choice of our car, the priorities for our children. There's that question, isn't there? Could a finance and possession inspector, could someone who comes and looks at your bank account, your wallet, your possessions, get evidence from your life to show that you are a Christian? In easy times, we need to look back for perspective, because in the past, God led you safely and God is your God. And he's proved that time over time. All of this is from God. So we have humble thankfulness for all that we have, and a joy to obey this good and generous God. And we look forward for a warning, because there will be a judgment. So in verse 19 and 20, Moses says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today, you'll surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. As God's children, you've been saved from slavery. And for us, we've been saved from slavery to sin, for freedom in the promised land, from death to life with your Father. But if you turn from him, well, he will rightly let you go your own way and you will lose all the good he has for you. All of your material wealth will count for nothing. You will give an account for your attitude to God, your following or turning away, and for what you did with all that he gave you. So I've been thinking about this passage. I've been thinking about those easy times. We need to look forward and trust humbly. God keeps his promises. Look back and obey joyfully. God is good to you. And in easy times for ourselves, how do we pray? Do we take that perspective and that warning? Do we relax and just enjoy it? Or do we stay alert? Spot the danger of becoming proud. Work at being humbly grateful for all that God has given us. And in easy times for others, how do we pray for them? That perspective and warning. Do we just give thanks? Oh, they can relax and enjoy it. Or do we pray that they will stay alert and be humble? In hard times or easy times, forgetting God's goodness leads to disobedience. If we choose to disobey, that says to God, I don't trust you. I don't think your ways are best for me. Remembering God's goodness leads to obedience. As we truly look back and remember God's goodness and look forward and believe in his promises, it becomes harder and harder to disobey, because why would we want to? We have a good Father God. Look forward and trust humbly. God keeps his promises. Look back and obey joyfully. God is good to you. Let's pray. Father God, whatever we're going through now and whatever we go through in the future, help us be alert. Alert to the danger of drifting away, whether in rejection of you or just in pride and wanting to be like others around us. Help us to look back to all that you have done for us and all that you have provided. And help us to look forward to the sure and certain promises that we have and to that day of judgment, which in Jesus we can safely get through. And with these things in mind, help us to trust and obey now. Amen.